We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Grinders NFL Food for Thought podcast. We are at the end of the Super Bowl. We got a banger of a show coming up. I'm the Looch, Justin Carlucci, here with Will Priester. What's going on, Chief Justice?
Nothing much, brother. Last one of the year, at least for NFL. And I'm just going to get out of the way. I mean, we got the heavy hitters on this week. I mean, these guys are coming in. I mean, OGs, been around a long time. Some guys that I look up to in this industry and have pretty much followed my whole DFS career. So without further ado, Looch, I'll let you do your hosting duties, but these guys are legends in the streets, so super happy to have them come on.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. Chop, what's going on? It's good to have you on the show. How you doing?
Hanging in there, man. Last game. You know, somebody said a couple weeks ago, they said, wow, we're down to three games in the NFL. And now that's when it hit me like, damn, it's coming to an end, man. And it's always weird for me because after like, man, probably after 13 or 14 weeks, it starts to become like, oh, man, kind of wish it would end. And I say, man, I wish football would end to some people. And they go, oh, you're crazy. You know, what are you going to do when it's over? This is the best. But it becomes a grind. But then when it is over, you're sitting there on Saturdays and Sundays and you're like literally bored out of my mind. I have no idea what to do. So, oh, man, it's kind of bittersweet, man. I like the break of no football. But, yeah, it creates a lot of boredom around the house. But we got a banger of a game, so I'm ready for it.
You know, the NFL does a great job of keeping you occupied throughout the offseason because we already have offseason drama. Numerous coaching moves. Aaron Rodgers is going into the dark. And of course, I saved the best for last because Beer Makers fan, Mr. Prince, you and Mr. Chief might have had vastly different opinions on Aaron Rodgers over the past couple of years. Now I'm not so sure how you feel about him. Either way, do you think he's going to be a Green Bay Packer next year before we get into the Super Bowl talk?
First of all, happy to be here, guys. Love the show. And like Chop said, I mean, it's a bittersweet. He's right. You know, it gets so grind. I know people don't want to hear that. Like, hey, you get to work in sports and football. I don't want to hear you whining about it. So, but it does start to get to a grind. We know that. And NBA, we're heading into trade deadline season and tanking season and the whole LeBron thing last night. So baseball still, you know, months away. So this is it. But we do have a hell of a game. As far as Aaron Rodgers, look, love the guy's football talent. Should he have more Super Bowls? Yes, we can argue that for days. But his act is wearing thin. I'm just done with this guy. It's all about me. Never about the team. I hope he stays in that dark room for however long he needs to. I hope they move on. Let's see what Jordan Love can do. If not, the next step, it's time to move on past Aaron Rodgers. So Jets, Raiders, wherever the hell they're going to move them, I'm done with it. It's too much me. I want to hear about the team, not me.
Chief, there are a million storylines. We could go any which way with this game, and I think we're seeing the two teams that are playing some of the best, most consistent football. I think we could both agree that, you know, both teams that are there in one way, shape, or another most likely deserve to be playing for a title. It's going to be fun. What do you think's the biggest storyline with this one, Chief? And the Eagles are slight favorites here, and some consensus amongst our experts here, and we'll dive into it, is that there could be some points in this one.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. I just don't want to see Patriots Falcons. Like, just don't give me that. Like, give me the real football game. If at halftime it's, you know, 17-14, I'm happy with that. 21-17, I'm happy with that. We cannot see like 10-0 at halftime. It's going to be so disappointing considering the potency of both of these offenses. But I think they're going to get rolling. I mean, we've seen Philly all season. They come out the gates pretty hot, and the Chiefs have come out of the gate pretty hot. And so I think the big story is A.J. Brown, believe it or not. Like, I think Hurts is going to be fine. I think Mahomes is going to be fine. Kelsey's going to be fine. Is A.J. Brown going to get off in the game? I think he does. Like, he's had I don't want to call it a rough playoff stretch, but they haven't really needed to use A.J. Brown hardly at all to win these games. I got to think he gets involved in the Super Bowl. Like, and, you know, I hate to just hop right into props and betting and stuff like that, but A.J. Brown's probably one of my top targets on the week. If he doesn't get there, I'm going to lose a lot of money on Sunday. But I think he does. Once again, Hurt should be fine. Mahomes should be fine. Kelsey's going to be fine. I think A.J. Brown's got to have a big Super Bowl here for them to win this game. There's going to be points on both sides for sure.
Chop, what's your thoughts on the Eagles here? Are they going to score points at will that you know, maybe the public thinks is going to happen? Give me some keys here to Philly's success here. Obviously, they run the ball at a pretty high rate. Do you think we're going to see a heavy dose of Miles Sanders?
Oh, man. It's a Super Bowl, so I've dug in, you know, more than any other game of the year. You have all this time, and I'm still here, sitting here, you know, 3 days out from the Super Bowl, and I have really no idea exactly what I'm looking at in this. Like, there's so many different things to this game. Like, there's a piece of me that says this Eagles team is legit by far the best in the NFL, and it's not even close. And, you know, the way they've smashed people this year with Hurts in there. Like, I can disregard the games where Minshew was playing. But so there's that piece of me. Then there's the piece that said, yeah, but my God, that schedule, man. And I know there's people who are going to, you know, counter it. Well, look at win percentage, and the Chiefs were just as weak of an opponent. No, I have to pump the brakes on that one. You know, when you really dig into it, I'm digging into what quarterbacks are you really facing, you know, and I could go down the list here, but suffice to say the best quarterback they faced all year was one game against Dak Prescott, because the other was Connor Rush. A handful of mediocre quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, guys like that. And then about a dozen guys that you say, whew, Matt Ryan, Taylor Heineke, Davis Mills, Daniel Jones twice, Davis Webb, you know, the Connor Rush, Carson Wentz. I go, wow, okay, maybe that's where they're getting these good numbers from. Like, there's so many aspects to it. Then there's, you know, the injuries. Is Mahomes high ankle sprain? I'm sure he would have sat out 2 to 3 weeks in the regular season. And he won that game against Cincy, but didn't look anything like Patrick Mahomes. How much is that going to hurt him? And on the other side, since Hurts came back from his injury, he hasn't done anything. Now, has he not done anything because they absolutely have not needed him? They've had 3 cakewalks. Or has he not done anything because they've intentionally scaled back on him because of the injury? I don't know, man. You know, there's so many things about this game that the way it can play out. The one thing I do know, and we've talked about it before show, is I think there's points here for some of the reasons I've said. You know, I think the Eagles are a really good offense. They do come out and jump on you early. I don't think the Chiefs are particularly great on defense, so I don't think they'll have a lot of answers. And on the flip side, I do think anytime anybody's going to go up against Mahomes is going to say, well, this is the best quarterback we've faced all year. That's anybody. But in the Eagles' case, like, it's exponentially the best quarterback they faced all year long. So I think there's point. Also think, unless we catch some really weird turnover variants here, there's this game, no way this game can be a blowout on either side. I just can't see that. So I think we're looking at a tight game with some points. With the Eagle, what are the Eagles? Luch, are you? You're an Eagles fan, right?
No, I just live here. So yeah, I wish I could say yes, but I can't.
Well, I'm a Cowboys fan, so it's in my nature to hate the Eagles, and I want to hate them, and I'm not going to root for them here, and I hope they lose. But the truth is, like, they could be really good, man, and you know, and they could really shut everybody up, and then I'm gonna have to listen to my Philly buddies talk the smack for the next year, but. I kind of don't know where they're at, man, to be honest with you right now. I'm still up in the air on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, Beer, Chop makes a lot of great points. That strength of schedule, quality of opponents. It's a shame we haven't okay, so Philly fans are going to listen to us and probably crap on us here, but this is maybe how it should be. Our real test at finally gauging who the Eagles are, all things considered. You know, what are your thoughts about the Birds, and do you think the spread, you know, is justified at 1.5, 2 in some places?
Yeah, the spread to me looks about right. I'm with Chop. I think Philadelphia is the better team of the two overall. I mean, you can look at these two offenses. I mean, these are two top three offenses in the league, according to DVOA, according to scoring. Any metric you want to look at, these are some good offenses. The edge I give the Eagles is defensively. We know the Chiefs, sure, they showed up a little bit. They got a good defensive line, but what negates that? A good offensive line, which Philadelphia has. So, the edge defensively to me goes to the Eagles here. As far as the schedule, who they played, look, you play who they put in front of you. I mean, you can't do anything about it. And they're not a team that is going to go out, get ahead, and just roll a team. So some of these scores might look, wow, they should have beat this team by more than that. They tend to take their foot off the gas. They get a hot start, and, you know, I don't know if they let their foot off the gas. They die down a little bit, and that could be something that could bite them here in this game. We know Kansas City is going to put points on the board. I don't care what defense you put across from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, they're going to find a way. They're going to score points. So I'm with Chop. I like the over in this game. I think there will be points. I'm with Chief that I don't want the 6-3, the 10-0, the slow. I'm usually an under guy. So to go over here is a little different from what I normally do, but I do think they're scoring. As far as some of the overlying stories, you guys kind of hit on most of them. Mahomes, his injury, Hurts, is he 100%? Is this Philadelphia team legit? Look, they're talented all over the field. I think they're legit. My biggest question is going to be experience. We know Andy Reid, Mahomes, they've been in this game. They've been on the stage. This is new for Jalen Hurts. Unless you want to go back when he got benched at Alabama, which we're going to hear 1,000 times this week. Sirianni, a younger coach. So, are they ready for this stage, for this spotlight? I don't think there's anything you can do to prep for the madness of the big game week coming up here and then the game itself. So that's my biggest question as far as experience. But to me, on paper, Philadelphia is the better team of these two.
I agree. And then I'll throw it back over to the Chief. I think they're the most well-rounded team, a huge leg up defensively. You know, the first drive of the Chiefs-Jaguars game, and this is throwing all analytics out or any statistics, just from the eye test, and I mentioned this on one of our earlier pods, I think that was the best Mahomes drive I saw in like 3 years. He was magical on that opening drive against the Jaguars before he got hurt. Jump passes, 360 spins. Like he was in his bag on every single play, and I don't think he's going to be 100%, and that Eagles defensive line is where I really give Philly the slate edge, I think, here. They're so deep, right? Like, kudos to Howie Roseman and that front office for really going all in. And, you know, they added Robert Quinn just for fun, right? I think we can forget about whiffing on Justin Jefferson, especially if they win the title this season, which, you know, the whole Jalen Reagor thing, that left a sour taste in a lot of Phillies fans' mouths for a while. But that defensive line, I think, is the biggest mismatch for Kansas City. And I think Mahomes' escapability is really going to have to be top tier here. know, for Kansas City to do their thing and win this game. And he's had some time off, and they had a very run-heavy game script the last two games, as Chief and I have talked about, with the rookie who really turned into the bell cow. It's about damn time they, you know, cut him loose and gave him a bulk of the carries. So that Eagles defensive line, I think, is where the real leg up here is. You talked about A.J. Brown, Chief. I'm so impressed with Devonta Smith, and we may have not seen that breakout crazy game from Brown, but his presence on the field is clearly making everyone else better. It feels like Dallas Goedert's playing some elite football right now too, just running guys over and plowing people over after the catch. And Devonta Smith actually has, like, I think an identical target share as A.J. Brown in the second half of the season. So just in terms of, you know, diving in of who's going to make a difference, the Eagles have so many ways to score, and they run so many different styles of plays, you know, RPOs and a lot of different play actions and a lot of ways to get Hurts out of the pocket. I am kind of surprised we haven't seen more explosive yards after catch plays from A.J. Brown. Maybe he's not 100%, right? I mean, you've heard and seen some things about him, you know, looking disgruntled, a little bit of a diva, just a salty Titans fan here. But, you know, we really haven't seen that, you know, 60-yard slant to the house that it seems like Tannehill was diamond to him every other week in Tennessee, and I really can't figure out why. It seems like Devonta Smith has really prospered the most in this offense from at least the presence of A.J. Brown. So, Chief, talk to me a little bit here. For Kansas City, obviously Mahomes, their success pretty much hinges on him, but this group of wide receivers was super banged up, and if anybody needed a week off, it was the receiving core of Kansas City. You know, Juju, Hurt, Kadarius Toney, who I think is kind of a key cog in this thing for Kansas City, said he's definitely going to play. Saw a huge game from MVS, Valdez-Scantling beer, which I'm sure you weren't used to seeing him, you know, torch anybody in a Packers uniform. He was probably super frustrating to watch. But Chief, talk to me about the Chiefs here, and, you know, what do they have to do to win this ball game?
Well, let me parlay two different ideas into one. You know, you want to figure out if you're a true number one receiver, then go operate without the number one receiver. Let me just put that out there. And I'm saying that because I'm going back to I'm going to parlay that into some A.J. Brown talk and some Juju Smith-Schuster talk. And I think you guys probably already know where I'm going with this. But everybody thought Juju was elite until Antonio Brown was gone. And then suddenly he wasn't elite anymore. And right now everybody feels like Devonta Smith is elite. And he's got a whole lot of speed. But if you take A.J. Brown away, I don't think he's as good. I'm not saying Devontae's bad. I think him and Juju are two different types of receivers. But my point is, when everybody can load up on AJ, Devonta can eat. I don't think Kansas City is going to be able to load up on AJ like some of these other teams, but that's just me. In terms of Kansas City, I mean, the X factor is Mahomes and Kelsey. I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill left and is in Miami, and Mahomes has had no drop off. I mean, literally no drop off. And believe it or not, I think Tyreek being in Miami has helped this offense turn into something else. So you're not going to see a lot of the down the field, you know, long developing plays. You know, Mahomes is getting the ball out of his hands 3 to 5 seconds, you know, 3 to 5 step drops on most of these, unless something breaks down and he's got to run around. And I actually think that's going to negate a lot of the Eagles pass rush. So while I understand, you know, maybe they'll blitz occasionally, you know, Mahomes doesn't take a lot of sacks. And so I think that's going to help the pace of this game. If the Eagles can't get off on the pass rush and Kansas City's got to stay on the field, what if the Eagles offense makes one mistake and has to punt early and they look up and they're down 14-0? Like, now they got to start putting the foot on the gas. They're not going to be able to play the same style of football that they're accustomed to, which has got me thinking about some coin flip stuff on the sports books right now. But at any rate, whoever gets the ball first in this game, in my opinion, I think they have the advantage, because if they don't score, if Kansas City or the Eagles, if they get on the opening drive and they score a touchdown, you know, I think the other team has some pressure, not immense pressure, because obviously both teams are juggernauts, but I do think there's going to be pressure to put some points on the board, whether that's a field goal or a touchdown. If that doesn't happen and the other team scores again, I think that's where the fireworks are going to come in this football game. And I'm hoping Kansas City scores first so the Eagles don't have to play smash mouth the rest of the third quarter. But that's kind of how I see this game going. I don't think the Eagles' pass rush is going to be as good because I think, you know, the way they've been running this offense with Mahomes anyway, there's not a whole lot of deep throws. Everything's intermediate and, you know, around – I don't want to say around the line of scrimmage, but we're anywhere from 5 to 8 yards out on most of these throws, and they're just – they're hitting yards after the catch. I mean, I was watching something the other day just talking about how Andy Reid has kind of evolved the screen game for Kansas City. Tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, they're all getting screens, and then they're using that to create more offense. So I think we're going to see, you know, a lot of the same that we've seen all year, which should hold the Eagles pass rush back.
Chop, I don't know if it matters how long you have the game plan for Travis Kelce. I mean, Jonathan Gannon's been great. Nick Sirianni's given him such high praise. Does it matter how you try to slow this guy down? And, like, who else needs to step up for Kansas City to make this thing work in their favor?
That's a good one, man. Because I sit there and, you know, every week when there's, a big game, a playoff game or something over the last how many ever years, I'm always hesitant to use Travis Kelce in DFS because I think they got to know this is the only guy right here. This is the guy. Like, you've got to stop him, right? That's all you've got to focus on with Kansas City. And yet every week this guy goes out there in big games and then nobody stops him. And I don't. So there's just something to him. I think I read something the other day about he's almost equally lined up, you know, all over the formation so much that I guess it is tough to defend him. So, yeah, he's the guy, man. He's the guy that stirs the drink as far as receivers, because if you took him out of the mix, I'm sorry, but that's one thing I fear for Kansas City in this game is the lack of receiving. These other guys are not good as a total unit. They're not MVS. What the heck, man? You know, like Kadarius Toney is a guy who just got traded after a year. There's something wrong with him. No offense to him. Mecole Hardman has never lived up, and he's not even in this game. Juju, like Chief alluded to, I thought he had potential, but he's never really recognized it after that first couple years in Pittsburgh. So it's not a good unit if you take away Kelce, but, you know, he's the straw that stirs the drink, man. So yeah, you got to think that with 2 weeks to prepare, that's another factor is the coaching. Before this game starts, I would heavily favor Andy Reid's side for all kinds of different reasons, the least of which this is about three times in 4 years, three or four or five years that they've been in this game. They know what to expect. They know what to do. And I think there's something to that. In fact, I saw that thing on, I forget where it was, where he actually has these guys practicing right now about extended national anthem time and the extended halftime time. Like they're prepared for this. I trust them before the game more than Sirianni and those guys. So yeah, man, it's something. So I expect him to come out with a good game plan here and get Kelce involved and figure it out. But to some of Chief's other points, the real X factor outside of Kelce is that offensive line for Kansas City, which if I was going to sit here and rank offensive lines right now in the NFL, the Eagles are by far number one. It's not even close. But Kansas City might be top three. This is a better unit than they just saw in San Francisco, who's going to get a lot of praise, but they're more of a run-blocking unit, and it's more scheme. This is a better all-around offensive line Kansas City has. And Mahomes, Chief said he doesn't take sacks. He is probably the best in the game right now at stepping up into the middle of the pocket, getting rid of the ball before the sack comes. That's a lot of that is due to he's smart, man. He's so cerebral. And then the strength of that offensive line is right there in the middle. It's the only guy, it's the only center in football that's probably better than the Philly guy, better than Kelce, is Creed Humphreys. And then the two guards are real good. So that's where he steps up now. The injury, because a lot of times he could step up and run for 10 yards, get your first down on third down. That's what Mahomes does. It's going to be interesting to see if he can step up and run or if he's just going to step up just to pass. So that could make a big difference right there. But, yeah, the middle of that offensive line is the X factor outside of Kelce for me.
Yeah, we can definitely slide in some DFS and betting talks. And these are two teams that when you're talking about DFS, and some prop betting and touchdown betting. They have so many weapons that it's always a challenge targeting players from these teams outside of Travis Kelce, I feel like. But Beer, you've been waiting so patiently since I came on here and said Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and I'm sure you have a lot to say about that gentleman, but what does Kansas City have to do to be successful and win this game? And can Travis Kelce be stopped?
I don't know that he can, guys. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. This guy's been that good. Now you look at some of the numbers, Philadelphia, middle of the road against tight ends. You know, they didn't shut them down. They weren't one of the worst teams. They'd only allow three touchdowns.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Touchdowns to that position. A lot of that, we can go back to the point of who did they play. If you know, dig into some of those numbers, don't put too much stock into that. But, you know, I think you have to put a focus on him, obviously. Now, it's easier said than done, but I agree. You got to make some of these other guys beat you, and you guys rattled off the list. I mean, let's just get to it. Marquez Valdes-Scantling maybe had one or two good games as a Green Bay Packer, and many a times breaks loose, he's open deep, drops the ball, and then he gets that look from Aaron Rodgers, and his confidence just goes down, 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 down. So he still brings that big playability, but I agree with the point that they're not going to have time for that. Yes, the offensive line is good, but Mahomes isn't going to have the time to dance around, find him deep. Are they going to take their shots? Yes, and they may have to if they're down in this game, whatever it may be. There's a lot of scenarios that they're going to have to take those deep shots, but that receiving core is a huge question. You know, Juju, I was a believer. I wanted to buy back in. He's with Patrick Mahomes. How could you possibly be bad when you're with Patrick Mahomes? Here we are. He's bad. I'm a believer in Kadarius Toney's talent, but I agree with Chop. Like, the guy was traded after 1 year. He's made of glass. He can't stay on the field. Does he even want to play football? Are these real injuries? I start to question it. You know, who else are they throwing to? I mean, you're talking about guys that are just not NFL caliber starters, in my opinion. So it's just another checkbox for the Eagles. They're just more talented offensively. Chief talked about Brown. Smith, I agree. A phenomenal receiver, but a phenomenal number two receiver. Dallas Goedert, one of the most underrated tight ends in the NFL, in my opinion. And we have barely talked about the rushing game. Sanders, and one of my favorite bets this week, Kenneth Gainwell is a guy. I think the numbers are way too low. I think he's a big part of this backfield. I think that's going to continue here against this defense. I think he's going to be able to find some holes, be involved in the passing game. So he's a guy that I'm targeting. So just a lot of great storylines. DFS-wise, you're right. These are teams you're generally like, man, it's tough outside of the big names. And I'd be able to just cram in Mahomes, Kelce, and Hurts and find a winning lineup. You're going to have to take some shots on some of these guys. Gainwell is one of those guys I'm putting my chips on this weekend.
Yeah, and Chief, I mean, Chief, you're the guy from the prop shops, Chief's prop shop. There's so many, I'm sure, so many ways to go. I'm sure there's some chatter about touchdown props. If not, there will be. And the Eagles backfield, I mean, Miles Sanders has looked fantastic. I mean, I could probably be behind that line and get 30 yards maybe if I'm lucky. I'd probably die out there, but when I got hit. But that offensive line is so good. I was so wrong that I thought the Niners front seven could sort of neutralize that Eagles ground game. And that kind of threw everything else that I wanted to, that I had investments in, out the window in that game. I thought the Niners would force Philly to be one dimensional and throw the ball more for like one of the first times this season. And that offensive line went out there from the first snap of the game and just annihilated Fred Warner and everyone else that's ahead of him in that front line. I really couldn't believe it. That Eagles run game is for real. And I think that's another box to check. I know, you know, they have, you know, the Kansas City has Chris Jones and some notable names on that side of the ball, but Gainwell is heavily involved. Boston Scott keeps making cameos in the damn end zone and vultures touchdowns for Miles Sanders owners and people who have Kenneth Gainwell as well. And I think this will be a competitive game, but Chief, you know, in terms of props and DFS, both these teams have so many weapons. You know, Kansas City has some weapons that are hard to trust outside of Kelce. I think it's kind of consensus now that we don't know who to believe in outside of Kelce in that receiving game. There must be something wrong with Tony. Maybe he's made of glass, or maybe it's one thing or another. Doesn't make any sense. A team that's in such dire need of talent on the outside and could have really, you know, waited on a project player like Tony and the Giants just be so willing to discard him like that really doesn't add up. I mean, we saw the Giants' lack of receiving talent earlier in the playoffs when the Eagles had a snoozer against them. And, you know, just one more thing here. It's just been a while since Philly's been punched in the mouth in a real football game in quite some time, while Kansas City has been scrapping and dealing with a ton of adversity. And maybe that's a little narrative-y, but what isn't this week? So, Chief, I mean, talk about some of these other guys that, you know, we're all going to be investing in one way or another. Who do you got your eye on?
Well, I do want to make this comment because, and I think this is important just from a general sense, the Eagles better win Sunday, because if they don't, this team is going to look way different in 2 years. And I'm saying that because Hurts has got to get paid. A lot of these other guys, you know, Devontae Smith, he's going to have to get paid. Some of these guys on defense, they're going to have to get paid. They're not going to have enough money to pay all these guys. And believe it or not, I think that's what you're seeing in Kansas City. Like, Tyree couldn't stay. He had to get paid. And Kansas City couldn't. I don't think they could make it work and get everything else accomplished with the salary cap. Now, I do know the salary cap is going to be expanded coming up, I think, in the new season. But still, so you look at Mahomes, and I am going to answer the question you asked me, by the way. But I think this is a testament to how good Kansas City and this coaching staff has been this season. Like, I know Andy Reid is not going to be coach of the year, but, like, look at what he's got accomplished with pretty much nobody's Mahomes and Kelce. Like, that's basically what he did. And then he has the stones, and he's done this before anyway, so it's not something new. But he just says, you know, we're just going to play Isaiah Pacheco now. Like, I'm tired of dealing with this running back. We're just going to play him. And the offense gets better. And so, you know, kudos to Andy Reid, who probably could be in the running, but he's going to get overlooked because of all the other coaches like Dable and Sirianni. And I get that. Kansas City, they got a lot of weapons, but here's what they do. Like, Kelce's going to get most of the work, but Noah Gray's going to be involved. MVS will be involved. Pacheco will be involved. And will be involved. Justin Watson will be involved. I mean, they're not going to try to beat you with one guy. They're just going to beat you with their unit. Whoever's open, that's who's getting the ball. And then when it's Kelce time, it's Kelce time. And I think, you know, even though this is kind of a collection, and I don't want to call them nobodies. They're not nobodies, but it's an odd collection of talent. Mahomes just wants to make the right play at this point. They just want to win the game. And so you'll look, Kelce might have 8 targets in this game and everybody else might have 2 or 3, but you'll look up and they've scored 35 points. Well, how do they do that? They're going to make the right play. And so I do want to say that from a DFS perspective, like, I am going to have a ton of A.J. Brown. Once again, A.J. Brown's my guy this week, hands down. Like, he's going in everything. But on the Kansas City side, you probably need to get a little bit of Noah Gray. Like, if you're mass multi-entering, those are the guys you're going to need, because I don't know, you know, which guy's going to have the 2 catches for 20 yards and a touchdown, and then Kelce gets his 8 catches for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't know who that guy's going to be. But these auxiliary pieces, you just have to play them. And that's how I'm going to approach DFS. Now, I'll get my couple props in here. I'm taking eyeball props this week, like punt props, field goal props. I like the tackles this week, but they've got, like, pass deflection. They've got all kind of oddball stuff. And some of that's kind of sexy to me this week. So that's what I'm going to be in on. And I'm going to be in Nashville with the sports book. And I hope I don't become antisocial, but because I'm going to have a field day while I'm there.
Chop, who are, I don't want to give away the farm, and I know you probably have other DFS content that you're pumping out this week in some way, shape, or form, but who are you inclined to look at as some contrarian options? I mean, we talked about a lot of these other guys, quote unquote, that are very volatile, and we don't know what the roles are going to be. Everything seems to change once in a while. I mean, Kadarius Toney had 6 or 7 targets a couple games ago. Some of these guys are banged up. We haven't even mentioned, you know, Jerick McKinnon. We haven't mentioned that Edwards-Helaire is supposedly going to be active this week. And it just throws a couple other wrinkles into this big game on Sunday.
I think what Chief said, basically it boils down to, for Philadelphia, it's a pretty tight group. You kind of know what to expect. I can, if I want to eliminate Boston Scott, because Scott and Sanders to me are kind of the same guy. And if it's not a blowout, then I can remove Boston Scott from my player pool because he gets the blowout run, right? So forget about that. It won't be a blowout. So now I've got Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell. Now I've got 3 pass catchers, man. Like, that's it. That's all I've got to deal with, right? Goddard and then Smith and Brown. That's it. Now you go to the Chiefs, and it's just like Chief said, it's all over. There's 3 running back now I got to worry about. There's Kelsey, and then there's like 4 wide receivers. So it's all spread out. So just to give you like a little glimpse of what I like on the Philly side, if I'm prop betting, I'm taking whatever's on the board there. And there's like receptions, yards. It's minuscule, but whatever it is, I'm taking the unders on Quiz Watkins. Give me the unders on the Quiz Watkins prop. The splits between, you know what? I got it on my spreadsheet real quick. Let me pull it up real quick just to clarify this, just so I'm not
I'm not pulling numbers out of thin air,
guys.
12 and a half receiving yards.
I'll put some work into this, but Quiz Watkins is in those games where Goddard was out, averaged almost 5 targets a game. That's where he made his hay this season. But when Goddard's been healthy, he's down to 1.8 targets per game. He's had like 11 games where he's gotten 2 targets or less. Like this guy's got 0, 1, or 2 chances in this entire game to beat you on your over props. I'll take my chances on unders on Watkins. And then for DFS, you guys just mentioned him. I think Kadarius Toney's the X factor here as far as DFS. I put in the expert survey this week. I think he runs for 1 and catches 1. Listen, what Kansas City does is really weird because they can't really – Kadarius Toney doesn't get the ball. He doesn't go downfield that much. Most of these guys don't go downfield. They all kind of hang around the line of scrimmage anyway. He's their most explosive athlete. Big-time pass rush. I think they're going to get the ball into his hands quick, let him make moves. That may even come on a sweep or something of that nature. So I kind of think out of all those guys, Juju and Kadarius and all those, I think Kadarius is the guy that I'd be leaning on in DFS a little bit more.
I love that. And, you know, he has a little extra maybe bad blood in his mouth going up against a former NFC East foe. I know he was briefly acquainted with the NFC East and the Giants gave up on him. But wouldn't that be something? Beard, talk to me about some of these odd and end type guys and who are you willing to maybe trust the most, whether it's in the prop market or DFS wise. I have a feeling you're not going to say MVS.
No, not going to say MVS. the beauty of MVS, it takes one play. We know that. Now, whether he brings that ball down, that's the question. But I love the Kadarius Toney call. I think some people may hesitate because of injuries, because a lot of people have been riding him in the playoffs and he hasn't exactly produced, but some of those, you know, that one looked like a touchdown to me that they overturned, that deep ball that he caught. So he's a guy that Chop mentioned. You get the ball in his hands so many different ways. They're very creative on how they're going to utilize him. So not your ordinary just run out, run routes, right, wide receiver. You know, he's going to get the jet sweeps, things like that. When they get towards the goal line, they really seem to trust this guy. So if they're going to take away Kelsey, if I got to put my chips on any other Kansas City Chief to score – outside of Isaiah Pacheco, it's likely going to be Toney. So I love that call. But, guys, I want to go back to Kenny Gainwell. Again, I know Miles Sanders technically the one here, but His involvement in this offense just continues to grow. It's been working. I don't think they go away from it. I think both guys are going to get some run. Why not take the cheaper guy here? It's going to allow you to spend up on the A.J. Browns of the world, the Travis Kelce's of the world. Get these quarterbacks in your lineup. So Gainwell, a guy I love in DFS, a guy that I love both his rushing and rushing and receiving props. I'm sure we'll get into some of the numbers on those, but that's a guy that I'm really looking at. And then, again, let's not forget about Dallas Goedert. And that's a guy I'm putting my chips on for first touchdown bet. The Eagles start quick. The Chiefs have given up 9 touchdowns to tight ends this season, plus 1,200 on that bad boy. Go Dare, as my boy Chop loves to call him. I'm going first touchdown, Dallas Goedert.
He looked like he's been playing possessed, but when he's caught the football, he's just been fantastic. And I like the Gainwell call. I wouldn't call it my favorite prop bet, but I think, and McKinnon has made me some money, mostly through the air. And I think with Edwards-Helaire being active, I don't know what the role is going to be. Even if he vultures a carry or two, McKinnon's getting no volume, right? Unless Pacheco's hurt or something like that. Like, he's not getting the football. So I kind of like McKinnon under, was it 20 and a half
rushing yards. That's on my list as well. I agree completely on that one.
Yeah. I mean, his work is going to be through the air. I don't think there's any reason to hand him off the football on this one. And the Eagles front seven has been pretty good. So I was super wrong about a team being one dimensional last round, but I feel like Kansas City is going to put the ball in the air quite a bit and also use some gadgety stuff like you mentioned with Tony, and he's basically the only guy to really run some of that gadgety type stuff Andy Reid likes to throw in there. So I think I like all those calls quite a bit here. Chief, there's two guys in this podcast that I think I agree with who like the over in this game. And I know you like a team total, and this is no secret. This stuff's getting published. We think there's going to be some points in this one. And I know you like the Chiefs to score some points in this one, Chief. So what do you think about the game total here at 50 and a half?
Yeah, I'm taking the over for sure. I might even take the first half over, believe it or not. Like, because the Eagles start so fast. If the Eagles hold true to starting fast, Kansas City's got to keep up. A whole lot of respect for this Eagles defense, but I still don't think they're going to slow this offense down completely. I think it's just, you know, I just don't think they do. So I'm pretty much on probably every over in this game. Especially, I mean, I caught one earlier, you know, I wrote this one up for SAO, obviously. I'm not sure if Lucha's, you know, published it yet, but I mean, we got Kansas City at 22 and a half, like, come on, guys. They're going to score at least 24 points, I think. I just don't see them staying under 22 and a half. Once again, a whole lot of respect for the Eagles' defense. I do think the Eagles win this game for what it's worth. I also took the Eagles at plus 1.5 or minus 1. Which one was it? I can't remember where it was when I got it. But I'm basically taking the Eagles to win. But still, I think that's incredible. At 22 and a half, they're 23 and a half on most books. I think 22 and a half was points bet. And I think it's too low. I mean, they could end up with 23 points in the first half if things break their way, both of these teams. So I'm hoping the Super Bowl gods land where they should for this game. And I think we'll make a lot of money here.
I love all of the betting options. Of course, there's all the goofy stuff like what color the Gatorade will be, and I'd love to hear your guys' input on that at some point.
Oh, can I squeeze one my prop of the weekend though? I'm sorry.
You should. That's why this is the last one, man. Go for it.
Dallas Goedert over 4.5 receptions. Like, just book it. Just go ahead and take that to the bank right now. I mean, that's my favorite prop of the week. I'm gonna have that in everything. Every parlay, I'm taking it straight, everything. It's in everything. I mean, as an example, they didn't even need to throw the ball against San Francisco in the divisional, in the NFC Championship, and he still caught 5 balls. And they didn't have to do anything, and he caught 5 balls. In this game, they're going to have to throw at some point. Like, they're not going to just be able to sit back and hand it off to Sanders and Beer, I'm with you. I'm in big time on Kenny Gainwell rush plus receiving yards this week. Big time. So that's one of my favorites. I think he was around the low to mid 30s. Last I checked, yeah. Last I was getting some in. So that's another one of my favorites this week. But Dallas Goedert over 4.5 receptions. Like, take that to the bank. Unless there's an injury, he's going over.
34.5 rushing and receiving for game.
Over.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let me stick right there, Beer. You can get either Goddard, A.J. Brown, or Devontae Smith on various sports books at a 4.5 reception total. If you don't mind paying a little juice, they're all at 4.5 across the industry in one way or another, which seems, I'm not exactly sure what to make of it. I don't think they all hit, I don't think they all go over. So Chiefs into the Goddard, receiving props here. What do you think of his reception? Do you think he catches 5 balls?
I do. That's the one I'd feel best about, which is surprising because, the other guys are bigger stars. But we've seen the production for Brown, for Smith, kind of yo-yo at points. Smith's been a lot more consistent here down the stretch. But a constant when he's in the lineup has been Dallas Goedert. I mean, so he gives you that combination of floor. You know he's going to get targets. Plus, he's got that ceiling that can get you there in DFS. So if I have to choose one as far as receptions, it's Goddard. Now, yards, you're probably looking at the other two receivers as far as getting those high yardage totals. But I don't hate his yardage total either. So Goddard and Gainwell, two of my favorite Eagles here. And they're not the stars. They're not the guys that are going to be the most heavily owned in DFS. Everyone's going to try to cram Brown, Smith. Again, you save some money with these two guys, can spend that money elsewhere.
Yeah, the Chiefs are funny because, like you said, they gave up a lot of damage to tight ends in the red zone, but they gave up a really high target percentage to wide receivers in that position. So seems like they're vulnerable in the red zone to the big bodies. I love that Goddard call. And just circling back to Chop, I was thinking about Tony for DFS because of pretty much everything you nailed, right? Gadgety guy, could probably find the end zone in a multitude of ways depending on what kind of play call they have. Now, there isn't a lot of historical data for Tony because he's always been hurt or he's rarely played. His role this season, coming back and getting integrated in the offense, his snap share was kind of low. I tell you what, his receptions prop is at 2.5 at even money. And I think I'm with you. I think you talked me into looking it up here, and I looked it up. I love that at even money. I think he's got to be a huge part of this offense. And I think maybe Juju might be a little more banged up than what they've been leading on. What do you think about Kadarius Toney? You think he catches 3 balls on Sunday?
I do. I do. Why? Because I think they're very low risk throws to him. I just don't see them. The only guy that they're possibly be targeting 30 yards downfield with those high variance throws is MVS. Kadarius is just going to hang out around the line of scrimmage, man, and get the quick screen passes. So I do like that one. I like that one a lot. Then, I got a prop for you guys. All right. Now, Super Bowl, man, anything can happen. Like, a dude could take a kickoff back 100 yards and totally blow up everything, right? All the props. But on paper, I got a prop. Man, it feels like it's stealing. And I hate to jinx myself, but I was looking this up the other day. Team to score the longest touchdown in the game. The Eagles are -120. Man, for all the reasons I've already said about the Chiefs just basically methodically matriculate down the field, small passes. Kelce has like an all-time low in depth of target this year. He hangs out like 6 to 7 yards from the line of scrimmage, doesn't get downfield. The only guy that goes downfield is MVS, and Beer already said he kind of has hands of stone quite a bit, They work the way downfield, get in the red zone. They got this great red zone package, and they score short touchdowns. That's what they do. Philly is the exact opposite. When they get inside the red zone, they run it or they bog down. Hurts is not good in the red zone. They are a big play team with A.J. Brown or Devontae or whoever it is. They're a big play team. So team to score the longest touchdown in the game. Barring something crazy, it feels like, for me, it's stealing to take the Eagles here -120. So I love that one.
Taking all these props and wait until I get to Nashville, my man. They're all going in.
Don't send me the invoice if they don't hit, please.
Are you flying to Nashville, Chief? You flying?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm getting there, but I'm getting there way before check-in. I'm getting there like 7 in the morning. Nashville.
Chief, I don't want to be stories. I don't want to be looking at no stories on the news of Chief Will Priester pulling an OBJ on the plane and just passed out drunk and just can't wake him up.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pissing himself, all that. I don't want to be seeing none of that, Chief. So
ironically, Chop, I don't drink, so we won't have that problem. I'm getting off. I got it all planned out. I'm getting off the plane. I'm getting a lift. I'm going to go to some nice breakfast place. I'm going to sit down, eat my breakfast. I'm going to ask them for the Wi-Fi, and the computer's coming out. My man, the things are going to be getting done quickly. But I will say, Chop, I like that call, and that's another reason why I like A.J. Brown so much this week, man. I think – here's my hot take for the week. A.J. Brown goes over his receiving yards prop in the first half. That's my hot take for the week.
Bam.
The whole thing, first half.
You just think he's going to have the game, but I just think his – I think they shade the coverage, and he's really opened things up for Goddard and Devontae Smith. And I, just to piggyback off Chop's longest touchdown call, if Quez Watkins is a losing prop bet on that under, which I do really like, it's going to be like a 40-yard bomb for a touchdown. He's not catching a pass. He's not catching a pass for 10 yards. Either he catches the bomb or he doesn't. And I think that's what it's going to be. But I also like the odds of that not hitting either. So the Eagles are definitely explosive. And even in the run game, like we've seen Miles Sanders chunk everyone. And the Chiefs' run defense has not been impressive. ETN looked pretty good in that Jags game. I know things don't always carry over from week to week, but I guess, you know, before we move on and start to wrap things up, it sounds like, now correct me if I'm wrong, is a consensus here that the Eagles win this game, but it's close? Is that where we're at, fellas?
It's wild, I'm the minus 1.5 for what it's worth. Ooh. I think they win it.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I don't see a blowout, so I think it's a close game. Okay, we're in the fourth quarter of a close game. One of these teams has a lot of experience in that, just played one last game. And then one of them has Patrick Mahomes also, and the other has a reliable run game and a running – like, I'll take my chances on the Chiefs.
I'm on Philly here. I just think they're the better team, and the defense is the edge for me. Both these offenses we know are going to score. I do give the coaching advantage to Andy Reid. I think it'd be crazy if you don't. The quarterback advantage, I mean, those are two important pieces. But all in all, I trust that defense. I think Philadelphia gets this done in a high-scoring game.
This is a little random, but if this is a really tight game and one box, I will check for Kansas City. In a game where we're talking about a billion points and, you know, it should be competitive and each team should force one another to be aggressive, Harrison Butker is a machine. Everyone talks about Justin Tucker. I feel like Harrison Butker never misses a kick. When he came out in the playoffs and it was like, what, a bomb to steal the game? I had no doubts it was going in. He's fourth all time in field goal percentage. I did not know that until I just kind of like looked it up, because I felt like he never missed a kick, and clearly he rarely does. So that guy has ice in his veins. And if it comes down to three, I think he's the guy. And I'm taking nothing away from Elliott on the other side there. But man, Butker's a smooth cat. And you know, if it wasn't for Justin Tucker, maybe we'd be talking about how good Butker is as a field goal kicker as well. So we'll see. Both sides are going to be aggressive on fourth down, so it should be interesting. And I don't know if they're going to make any Brandon Staley own 35-yard line type of calls on fourth down, because that guy's an idiot, let's be real. But I do think both of them will be aggressive, and it should be exciting. Now, I just kind of thought of this, and I didn't give you guys any time to think about this, and that's my bad as a host, I guess, but it should make for a quick, fun conversation before we talk about some food and maybe a story time. But do you guys have a favorite memorable Super Bowl itself, or a moment that maybe either, you know, you as a fan or just kind of left your jaw dropping or just something so crazy for one reason or another. And I just think it was one of the craziest ways to kick off a Super Bowl. I'll never forget when Denver got safetied on the opening play of the Denver Seattle game when they got slaughtered. This was like at the infancy of sports betting becoming legal, and someone had a ticket on a safety being the first score of the game. I saw on Twitter something crazy, but that was probably the craziest beginning to a Super Bowl that I can remember, you know, in the last 10 or unexpected, I should say, for a Peyton Manning team to get safety to start the game. But obviously me as a Titans fan, Mike Jones tackling Kevin Dyson at the one, I was pretty young. It was a bad night for Team Luch when, the last Super Bowl appearance the Titans had, lost by a yard to the greatest show on turf. And I won't forget that one. That was a bad one. But I guess, Chief, do you have anything that sticks in your head, top Super Bowl kind of moment or something you'll never forget?
Yeah, man. And clearly, maybe it's going to be, I'm not sure if we're all going to have it from a fan perspective, but mine is Cam Newton just teeing off in the press conference after the Super Bowl, just not able to handle the loss, possibly for good reason. We lost to Peyton Manning and a good Denver defense, but I don't think I'll ever forget that one as a Panthers fan, as we're still chasing a Super Bowl victory. Like, it's not coming soon.
Yeah. Chop, what about you? Any Super Bowl memories for good or for bad?
A lot of Super Bowl memories. Like, as a sports fan, you kind of you remember certain things in sports, and that takes you back to a certain place in time almost. Yeah. And for me, so there's a lot of them. So I have memories littered all up and down sports, but as far as Super Bowls, Tampa Bay against Oakland, 2003, the one where Dexter Jackson took back the interceptions for touchdowns. That was one of my most memorable right there. And it was for reasons I'm not going to get to on the air here, because I never know who's listening. But it was a good one, brother.
We do get some downloads, believe it or not. So some things I guess we have to keep to ourselves. Was that the Charlie Garner era of Raiders football?
He was Garner and Gannon.
Garner and Gannon. Man, that takes me back to my early days of playing season-long fantasy football with the Rich Gannons and the Priest Holmes, of the world during those times. Speaking of great fantasy football Chiefs players, Priest Holmes had those like 3 years where he just had more touchdowns, I think, than we'd ever see anybody score at one point. But, that being said, let's close up shop here. We have a lot of stuff to do. Chief, this is our last food of the week / story time segment. So you have any local food spots or anything you ate recently or any good stories to tell us before we head out of here?
Well, I'll make this a 2-for-1. My son actually asked me to come speak at his SCA or God, what is it called? I guess it's SCA. But anyway, his Christian athlete meeting tomorrow. So I'm going to be headed there. And what he asked me to talk about, he said, well, can you maybe just talk about your ankle injury from high school and how it kind of changed your career path? For those of you that don't know, I was actually headed to play college basketball and I broke my ankle in high school, last game of the season too. So I didn't get a chance to like finish up my senior year, missed the playoffs. It was awful. And I kind of parlayed that into my coaching career, being able to coach basketball and train and stuff like that. And so I thought it was really cool for him to ask me to come talk about that and talk about, the challenges I faced and, how I was able to make it through that. So that's cool. And then this one, in terms of food for the week, I've actually started liking. So Pizza Hut of all places has something called the Pizza Hut Melt, Luch. And it's basically a pizza, or it's not a pizza. It's really more like a calzone, but they kind of cut it in half You know, you can get a meat lovers. They've got like this chicken bacon parm. It's really good. Like I didn't expect it to be good. It's just something I wanted something quick one day. And I was like, oh, I'll just try this thing. You know, they've had the commercials out, and I tried, and I've had at least three since the first time I've tried it. So, you know, I won't have that for the Super Bowl party, obviously on Sunday. But if I was at home, I'd for sure have me a couple of those melts ready to go.
I never in a million years thought you'd come on here and talk about Pizza Hut. So that's certainly interesting. Chop, you got a fast food pizza take before I ask you a real food or story question. I know there's been some recent battles between Domino's Pizza and Papa John's in the media world here.
So. I mean, listen, I am not the foodie. Okay. I'll say this. Here's the thing. I'll give you some background. For a long time, like since I was a young guy, when I first got to college, I spent a lot of time working my way through kitchens. So I know all about that kind of work and cooking and doing all that. With that being said, what would ever keep me from being a great chef? I don't have the taste buds, man. I can eat anything, right? That's why I think I'd be good on one of those game shows where they make you eat a bunch of random crazy stuff. I don't have any taste buds. I just everything tastes good to me, right? I'm just a food guy. I like food, period. I'll eat anything. So when I tell people, yeah, I'm getting Papa John's tonight, they look at me disgusted, you know, like Papa John's is nasty. No, I like it. It's all good. So I like all that kind of stuff. And I'll go a step further and say some of these pizza places, fast food pizza place, they put out some damn good wings, man. Believe it or not, the wings are really good. So
yes,
every Friday night in this house, we are ordering a pizza delivered from Papa John's or Pizza Hut or something like that with some wings with it. So I don't mind, man.
You're in Texas. It's the barbecue capital of the country. There's all these Netflix shows with pitmasters and some things I watch before I go to sleep sometimes, because honestly, when you do sports content for 8, 10, 12 hours, I need to watch like anything other than Sports Center or a game once in a while. Sometimes I'm just out of sports for the day. There's gotta be some good barbecue down there, right? I'm sure.
There's fantastic food, period. Yeah. And barbecue is one of them, but you can't have the same stuff all. If you have the same stuff too much, kind of wears on you. But if they came up with a really good barbecue place that delivered like pizza does, we'd be in good shape. Which is a whole nother rant to me. This the Uber Eats and those things like that. I can't stand those places, man. Those delivery services. I've very rarely had good experiences. Your food either gets there cold because they took too long, and now they're dropping it off to three other houses before yours. So I can't dig that. Or even worst case scenario, I got a family of five here, man. God forbid I order something and they delivered and they forgot something from somebody. It's over with for the night. I got, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm having to give up my meal for, I'm having to give up my part to the kid. Like
dad life, chop. I know what you mean.
I don't like those deliveries. So a good old pizza, it'll get delivered. It'll get delivered hot. And I know it's going to get here. The right order is going to get here. So if a barbecue place here close to me could come up with that concept where they deliver and I don't have to go through the third party, I'd get it all the time, but they don't have it.
That's a hell of a concept. I like it. And quick shout out, Beer had to dip out of here. He had some tech issues, but he said one of his favorite memories was Don Beebe chasing down big ass Leon Lett.
Yep.
I love that. That's awesome. Big shout out to Beer. I guess my story time hits a little close to home. Last week, my cousin passed away unexpectedly. He was a hell of a friend, a mentor to me, but he was one of my favorite people to sit down with at a sports book at a bar. I lived with him for a while. Great guy, big supporter of Scores and Odds. He lived in Baltimore for a while, so he used Scores and Odds for his lines that he bet with his bookies and his friends, for a really long time. So it's been a tough week, and when people pass, life's just never the same. But he was a big supporter of SAO, big part of my life, so I definitely wanted to give a shout out to my cousin Dave Silberfeld. And he was super known in the Baltimore area where he spent most of his life. And you know, he had some connections in media and knew some people at the local station. So, I mean, there are odds that maybe someone listening knew Dave. He was a big tequila guy. He loved drinking Reposado neat. So if you're having one this weekend, please do have an extra one for him. So that was that. And my birthday was this weekend, so it was a rough one. But another shout out to my fantastic girlfriend who planned a bunch of stuff to get my mind off of everything. And we had some fun. We did some lunch. We did some dinner here in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. Had a little bit of a wholesome moment. We went to Dave and Buster's for the hell of it just to play some games and blow off some steam because it's fun once in a while. I'm a kid at heart, man. So that was cool. But there's one of these big crane machines, not the normal size ones, the ones that you always get ripped off on with the really good big prizes. But the thing never holds what it has, and it drops it. And this little kid was in front of us. He was trying to get this like soccer ball, and he tried like five or six times. And the last one, the claw had it, and it opened up and dropped. And he was like crying. And his parents said, you know, we spent like $20 on this. Let's just, you know, we'll leave here, you know. So we stepped up, and my girlfriend went and got it on the first try, and we tracked him down and gave him the ball, and he was so happy. And that was like the most wholesome moment I had. So that was, maybe that'll be my good karma. I don't know, but it was cool to put a smile on someone else's face, a stranger's face. You know, Chief, you talk about it often. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, how you doing today? And that can make someone's day. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster 2 weeks for me, but Dave was a big time better. He loved having fun, seriously lived every day like it was his last. And he would want us to end this football season with a bang and make some money this coming weekend. So that being said, Chief, this is it. The closing show. You got anything to wrap us up here?
Negative, my brother. Close this thing out. We'll see you folks back here next season, man.
Yeah. Chop, thanks so much for hanging with us. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, not a problem, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. And thank you all, listeners. It's been a fun season. We wouldn't be here without you guys. We love hearing your feedback and your comments about the show. And we'll see what we could do. I want to try to get like an NFL draft special edition or something because, you know, as soon as the Super Bowl's over, we're going to hear about draft, free agent drama, the combine.
I'm headed to the combine this year for what it's worth.
Really?
I will be out there. So that's going to be I'm going to come back with some nuggets. I can tell you that right now.
I like that.
Some Chop, chicken nuggets? Chicken nuggets, maybe.
Yes, sir. Chicken nuggets all day.
Chop, you do a lot of college football stuff. Are you into the combine? You watch that stuff?
The combine, nah. I've seen enough. I've seen enough games all year. I kind of know what's good and what's bad.
Gotcha.
I'm going just to go. Like I've never done it. And look at it. I mean, I guess we're supposed to be closing. Last thing is another organic conversation, which is what this show is all about. But I'm just going just to go, man. Get that experience. See what it's like. So hopefully, it'll be fun.
Well, before we start ranting about something else under the sun, for Beard Chop and Chief, I'm the Loosh. Thank you guys for a great season. Have fun. Good luck in the Super Bowl, and we'll see you in a couple months.